You know, it's good to be in God's house. Good to be in God's. And I like the light so I can see the faces. Because I don't shoot till I see the whites of the eyes. We're looking at what God has for us today. And as we're looking at God, what God has for us today, there's three primary areas that I want us to consider. The first area that I'd like for us to consider, you may know somebody that has a special need and they're not here today. We've got an answer for that. Secondly, you may want to consider somebody brought you here today and scattered you in this group of people. There's something special here for you today. And then thirdly, there's a group of people who just came to hang out with Jesus. And you know what? When you just come to hang out with Jesus, there's something special here for you today. And what we've got is three pictures of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to begin looking in Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, what we're looking for is the pursuit of peace. And as we seek this pursuit of peace, let's read the first story. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And he answered her, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him and said, "Lord, help me." He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and to cast it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desired." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Those are some of the most interesting words. When you think about what the Lord Jesus is doing and speaking, but I'd like for us to kind of capture this. Now, I mean, let's just say for a moment, here you are. You've got a daughter. Now, this daughter she's either sick, she's morally out of line, but we do know this, she is demon-possessed. She is so overcome with an outside force that it's affecting the inside reality of her being. You as a caring mother, you look at that daughter, your heart is broken, you weep, you cry, you weep, and then all of a sudden you hear about this man. But now wait a minute, it's a man, and you're a woman in a society that men are appearing and women are not as high. Secondly, you're in a society in which the Jews had absolutely nothing to do with the Gentiles. Here you are, you're a Canaanite. So therefore you are a Gentile. Now, your daughter is demon-possessed. She is deathly ill. You can't hardly go on with life. The one person who can help you is a man, a Jew. And you go to him and you say, "Help." Now, if you capture that moment, just for a moment, have you ever reached a point in your life in which you felt like the sky was silent? Because when you begin to look at what's happening in the life of this person, all of a sudden you see beyond any shadow of a doubt that this daughter's in trouble, this man can help. And I'm going to try the best I can. But this is the thought I want to plug into your mind. Sometimes you as an individual have to go out for somebody else and pray for them and meet Jesus head on so that they might be healed. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me say that one more time, in a different way, maybe. Do you have the heart to touch somebody else's life that's not here this morning? Okay? Think of it in that capacity. Let's just say, now they could be in the midst, but you as an individual, all of a sudden, it's your heart that's broken. They're not even here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Satan and the demonic activity is so strong that she's gripped. And now here you go to Jesus, and you say, Jesus, help. And you know what Jesus does? That doesn't sound like our Jesus, does it? He's silent. He doesn't say a word. Would you quit? You can say, hey, look, I went to the source. I went with everything that was on my heart. And all of a sudden now I've asked Jesus help. And what does he do? He's silent. Now, if you want to make things worse, here you are, your heart is broken. And you go to the believers. You go to the group of men who have been in contact with Jesus and who are surrounded Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And you know what these men are saying? Jesus, send her away. She's annoying us. You're brokenhearted. You went to Jesus, heaven silent. The people who are supposed to be so loving, kind, and caring are saying, Jesus, close the door. Send her away. Lord, she's getting in the way. Let me ask you a question. At this point, would you quit? Would you give up? Is that not enough? Heaven silent. The people that you went to for help are turning their back and saying, would you quit? Would you quit? Well, if it's not worse than that, then all of a sudden you go up to Jesus, and Jesus, his disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's annoying us. And Jesus says to you, look, I came here for the lost children of Israel. What's that telling you? All of a sudden now Jesus tells you, I'm not on the agenda. I'm not worthy. You're not going to help me. Would you give up? Is it time to go home? Is it time to say nobody cares? Is it time to say I quit? Many would quit right there. But all of a sudden, what does she do? She comes over there, she falls down, and she worships Jesus. And she says, have mercy on me. Jesus opened up his mouth again. Lady, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the little dogs on the side. Now, the parable, the story is not downing the woman. It's the principle that he's trying to say. It's not right to take the food on the table and cast it down to the dogs. Amen? Now, I'm going to check you out right here. How many of you got dogs in the house? How many of you slip them a little food? Okay. How many somebody told you not to slip them a little food? Okay, no, don't go there. It's not right. You know, let's feed. Let's feed in the house. Let's feed the children. Don't take the food. Don't take the food off the table and give it to the dogs. All of a sudden, Jesus said, look what I have. It's not for you now. Would you quit? Would you quit? Would you go home? You know what she did? This woman said, Jesus, I agree with you. It's not right to take the bread and feed it to the dogs. But she said, Jesus, even the dogs. I can imagine in my mind Jesus smiling on his face. He said, woman, you got great faith. Be it done what you want, be it done. and that very hour healed. The demon had to leave at the power of Jesus. The woman, the daughter, was not even there, but that demon had to go. That girl was restored. She was made, the Bible says she was made whole. Now, capture in your mind three things about this woman. What did she do? And now, you can't give up. If you give up, that daughter would have died with that demon in her body. But you know three things that she did? One thing, what did she do? She went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, and asked for mercy. What did you do? He prayed. She prayed. That's the first thing that every one of us to do. We need to pray. But what happens when your prayer doesn't get through this ceiling or you don't feel it, that it does? Do you quit and you give up and say, God, I ask you and you're not saying anything to me? No. Next thing she did, she worshiped. She went to the feet of Jesus. She didn't give up because her prayer life was not answered. She went to the feet of Jesus and she worshiped Him. And the last thing that she did, she trusted. She trusted. Folks, it's tough that when heaven seems silent, when we don't feel like we're on the agenda, to keep on trusting for the peace to come through. Last week we were in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we went to a bed and breakfast. And folks, that's where it happened for us. I went on a search. I wanted to learn about the Amish people. God allowed that, but He allowed me much more. There was this couple that were from Maryland. He had driven a vehicle transporting handicapped people around, I think, for about 30 years. And his wife was a bank teller. But about a year ago, he was driving. The bus was empty. There was a widowed pastor's wife failed to stop at the yellow light. The accident occurred. Life was gone. And Tom is living today dealing with that. All of a sudden, peace was just taken. I mean, just like that. Reaching the era of time of retirement, ready to start a new flavor of life, and now all of a sudden, his peace and his health is broken. We spent time into the night talking about this, my wife and I, and his wife, and we just had a great discussion. But you know what he was pursuing? He was pursuing peace. Peace. And now we can pray for Tom, and he's hundreds of miles away, that he can receive peace because you and I join together and pray for Tom to have peace. What would you do? What would you do? Somebody's not here this morning that needs peace. Will you pray? Will you worship? Will you trust? Second picture that we have coming up, we see the Lord Jesus as things are happening right here. Sometimes we have to carry people to the feet of Jesus. And what we want to do, let's pick it up with verse 29. Jesus departed from there and skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up to the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Secondly, what can you do? Sometimes we have to carry people to the feet of Jesus. And that may be what you have to do as an individual. There may be somebody in your life, in your circle, in your family, your friends, where you work, that's broken, maimed, lame. It might be physically, spiritually, emotionally. It might be captured in any of those capacities. But what can you as an individual do? You as an individual may not be able to reach out there and touch them and heal them. But what you can do, you can bring them to the feet of Jesus. And what the Bible teaches us here, that when He brought them to the feet of Jesus, they just scattered them. They just scattered them. Now, the reason I like that is, you know what? When we come to the feet of Jesus, all we have to do is bring people there. And when the Word of God, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Listen, folks, when people start hearing the Word of God, their lives can be changed. And that's what happened here. We see, bring them to Jesus, cast them before Him, and Jesus healed them. And when that occurs, this is what's going to happen. People are going to glorify God. People are going to glorify God. Well, what would it take for you to glorify God today? If you was riding around there with me in Lancaster, what you have done, you'd have saw some buggies that are black, drawn by horses. They got little taillights on them, and they got a warning sign on the back so that it's reflected. And you would go around, but if you followed them home, what you would do, you would go into a house where there's no electricity. You would ride up in that buggy to a yard where there was no cars. And you see, the reason they don't have electricity in the house is because they feel like the electricity separates the family. Now, could that ever happen in your house? No. Right? Because nobody gets wound up watching TV, right? Nobody has cell phones. Nobody has computers. Nobody has headsets. Nobody has radios and CDs and DVDs back in their room. No! We're all sitting together talking in one happy family, right? No, we're not. So you see, in their pursuit of peace, they chose a very hard way, believing Jesus just like you and I believe. However, they choose a hard life for the purpose of family. Sometimes it's hard for us to reach out there and bring people to the feet of Jesus. But folks, if we'll bring them there, and they hear the Word of God, and they read it, and they sing about it, the Spirit who is here today is able to do some miraculous things by bringing them to the feet of Jesus. The last picture I want you to see. We're carrying on now in this period of time, the people, man, what were they doing? Let's pick it up with verse 32. Now Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they now have continued with Me 3 days having nothing to eat. Amen? I can imagine you sitting in here 3 days not eating anything. Well, if I was Jesus, you would. But go ahead. It says, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. When His disciples said to Him, where can we get enough food in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to His disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 basketfuls of the fragments that were left over. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And He sent the multitude away, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. The last picture I want you to see is sometimes all you have to do is just to sit in the presence other believers listening to Jesus and be blessed. Sometimes you come to church and you come with just a blank slate, and when you leave it, you leave it charged up because Jesus met you at your point of need. And that happens. And that happens so often. But when we come, let's just kind of imagine this. 3 days without food, didn't even miss it. The people didn't go up to Jesus and said, Jesus, my stomach is growling. It's 12 o'clock. Jesus. No. What did He do? He just sat there and they listened. Jesus had compassion. And when Jesus had compassion, He says, I know the needs of these people. If I send them away now, some of them are going to fall by the wayside and they're going to faint because they don't have enough food, enough energy. I'm not going to let them get away. I'm going to take care of their needs. Some of you have come this morning and you need your needs to be met. You may not even know what they are. You may not even say, Jesus, help me here. But all of a sudden, Jesus says to you, here, I want the need to be supplied. Now, if you're going to do that, though, how are you going to bring peace into your life? How are you going to find that peace on the hilltop? Where does it all come from? The compassion of the spiritual, of the physical. Compassion as God begins to speak to you. I suggest to you, verse 32 tells us that if we're going to find peace, it's going to be compassion-driven. Compassion-driven. In other words, Jesus is going to look down and Jesus is going to be walking in amongst us, and because of His love, it's going to be compassion-driven. But the second thing that we as individuals need to do, we need to look at the resources. We need to discover what is available. For them, it was a little bread and a little fish. For us, what are the resources that God have for us today? If we will reach out, capture those resources, then we need to do something else. We need to organize. Organize. What do you mean? In other words, the church, we need to be prepared for a blessing. When you came here this morning, did you come expecting? God says this, I've got the love. Here are the resources. Organize it. Now let's get ready. Let's line it up. Let's get the light, the air, and let's all kind of get things together. And then all of a sudden He says, here are your resources. Let's pray over them. And then after we pray over them, what does He want us to do? He wants us to take it and divide it, and He wants us to give it away. Oh, what? Peace? Compassion? Resource? Organization? Prayer? Divide it up among the people, scatter it out in the community, and all of a sudden, you'll see that when you leave, you'll leave full. In fact, there'll be so much that'll be that which is left over. How many people were fed? 4,000 besides the men and the women. How many could it have been? 8,000? 12,000? 15,000? We don't know. But this we do know, there were 4,000 men. And this we do know. Not one person went away hungry. And this we do know, God will meet and supply your special needs. He brings you here, He loves you, He cares for you. Now, here we are. Three areas we want to look at. Area number one, is there somebody not here that needs a blessing? That needs peace? That needs a demon cast out of them? That needs to be healed. Is there somebody not here? Is there somebody here today that you brought that needs to be touched by the Lord and need to find an element of satisfaction and peace? You brought them here. God's Holy Spirit will do the work. Is there somebody here today that needs to find peace? And number three, is there somebody here today that just wants God to reach their arms around them and just say to you, I love you. I love you. If you're here today and you just need somebody to say, I love you, the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. Jesus Christ said these words through Hebrews, through the apostle. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So He is here today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So therefore today, you come to the trough and eat. Pass out the baskets and eat. Leave this morning, be satisfied and at peace. But where does it all begin? It all begins by going to Jesus. It all begins by praying. It all begins by worshiping. It all begins by trust. Simple trust. If we'll trust Jesus, folks, He'll make you whole, He'll make others whole, and you too will receive a blessing. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You this morning, we come with praise in our heart, believing that Jesus Christ is alive and living today. And so, Father, in my mind, as we pray right now, Father, I'm going to those who are sick and are not here. I'm going for those, Lord, who are guilt-ridden and they're not here. I'm going to those who are in prison and they're not here. I'm going for those who are scattered across our community and they're not here, but God, I'm praying for peace. Peace. I'm praying for deliverance. And Jesus, we believe you, we trust you, and Father, we know that right now the power of God is working among the people who are here. We know the Spirit of the Lord is here, and people are reaping something inside of them from the Holy Spirit that's very satisfying. It's because you, Lord, when the music stops, it's still all about you, Jesus. And now, Father, we pray for this body of believers in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in your life, is there somebody you need to pray for? Prayer altars are open. You can use them. You can pray in the seats where you are if you so choose. But the prayer altars are open. Is there somebody here today that needs to be touched by God's Holy Spirit to be set free, to find peace? I encourage you to find that this morning. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you. I encourage you this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you've already accepted Christ and you want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, hey, I encourage that. As a family, as an individual, as friends, hey, the Bible teaches us wherever two or three are gathered together, He's in the midst. He's here this morning. What do you need to do for Jesus Christ? I'd love to talk to you about coming to know the Lord. I'd love to do that. What's your need today? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.